God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. And for our reading, we're going to begin in verse 39, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 45. This afternoon, we're just going to really continue where we left off last Sunday in the Gospel of Luke. As many of you know, every Sunday we focus on studying the New Testament chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And by God's grace, we started about 6 years ago in Matthew, and we have covered Matthew, and we have covered Mark, and now we are in Luke. And so we're just going to continue this afternoon here in Luke, and we'll be in chapter 1. And to begin, fam, we're going to be looking at verse 39, and we'll read all the way down to verse 45. And when you have it, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. And we'll read it together as a family. And this is what the Word of God declares. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Amen, fam. This is God's word, and all of God's people in agreement declare amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you, fam. This afternoon, fam, I've titled my message, our study, simply Blessed, Blessed. If you recall from our study last Sunday, in verses 26 through 28, and we're just going to have a quick review to get everybody up to speed. In those verses, Luke introduced us to the instrument that God was going to use to bring forth his Messiah into the world. We were introduced to Mary. And really the picture that Luke gives us is that Mary was very, very humble, and she was pure and godly and set apart, and she was very devoted to the Lord, devoted to her faith in Jehovah. And really, God sent Gabriel, the angel, to her, and really, Gabriel told her the good news that God had chosen her to bring forth the Messiah. And Gabriel literally explained to Mary how God was going to do it, because remember, she's a virgin. She is pure, holy, set apart. And although she is engaged to Joseph, they are not married yet. And so Mary had some questions on the details of how it was going to happen. And Gabriel began to explain to her that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her, and that the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, literally was going to overshadow her womb. And even though she was a virgin, God was going to do a miracle in her womb, and Mary was going to conceive the child. And the angel told Mary that her child would be great, that there would never be a child like this to enter the world. And literally, Gabriel begins to tell her that he would be called the Son of the Most High, and that he would be holy, and that he would be literally God in human flesh, and that he would rule and reign over the house of Jacob. He would be the promised Messiah, and his kingdom would never end. As if the angel told Mary, you're going to have a child, and that child is going to be God, and there will never be a child like him. And then, just to end our little review, notice verse 38, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. After hearing the words of the angel Gabriel, we're told that Mary responded with these words. Behold, notice in your text, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In other words, she says, yes, I believe. Yes, I receive it. Here I am. Use me, Lord. Use me. I believe in your word. I believe, God, you are able to do all that you say you will do. Here I am. I am your instrument. Use me for your glory. She has confidence, not in herself or not in what she understands or what she can figure out, but she puts her confidence in the Lord. And the rest, as we say, is history. Now, this afternoon, fam, we're going to continue our study in the Gospel of Luke. And now as we arrive to verse 39, we now arrive to Mary's visit with Elizabeth. Remember, in the beginning section of chapter 1, Elizabeth conceives. She conceives the natural way with her husband Zechariah. But at an old age, Elizabeth conceives and she will give birth to John the Baptist. And so, beginning in verse 39, what we learn is that after hearing the words of Gabriel, Mary goes to visit her relative, Elizabeth. And as she goes, Mary already is pregnant. Mary has already conceived. And many believe, and in my opinion, this is the right interpretation, that Mary conceives in verse 35. That at the very moment that the angel is explaining to Mary what God is going to do, that literally the Holy Spirit at that very moment comes upon her. And the power of God overshadows her. And Mary conceives the Messiah. And many believe it all took place in verse 35. Because by verse 39, which was only a few days later, Mary is already pregnant. So many believe that it all happened in verse 35, that literally the Holy Spirit came upon her and the power of God overshadowed her womb. And literally God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, took upon himself a human nature, and his human nature was miraculously conceived in the womb of Mary. And so by verse 39, Mary's already pregnant. God the Son is already in her womb. He has been conceived by the power of God. And so Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. What an amazing picture. You got Mary pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you have Elizabeth pregnant with John the Baptist. It's pretty amazing, huh? And that's going to be our focus this afternoon, this visit from Mary to Elizabeth. Now, in my opinion, this text, the theme is blessed. Blessed. And so that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on this visit, but more than that, we're going to focus on the blessing of the Lord that he has poured out upon Mary and that he has poured out upon us. And just quickly, let me share with you what I mean before we get into our text. Let me help you see the theme of this text. Notice verse 42. Look with me again, Luke 1, verse 42. There we read the words, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Blessed, blessed. And then notice verse 45, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of all that the Lord has spoken to her." And so really, as Mary and Elizabeth are visiting, Elizabeth wants Mary to understand that she is blessed. That's really the key word of this text, for we see it three times. And really the idea is whenever a word is repeated in the Bible, it's important. It's the theme of the author for that particular text. And so Mary wants Elizabeth wants Mary to understand that she's blessed, that God has blessed her in a special way, and literally God has poured out his blessing upon her life. And so the theme here is blessed. Mary is blessed. And so we're going to talk about these blessings, and even more than that, we're going to talk about how we also are blessed by the Lord. Those of us who are in Christ, those of us who are followers of Christ, this afternoon, we are blessed. God has blessed us. Literally in Christ, God has poured out all his blessings upon our lives. And Paul would tell us that God has poured out every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ upon our lives. And so like Mary, we too are blessed. And that's what I want to focus on. I want to talk about the blessings that we see in this text, and more than that, the blessings we see in our lives in Christ our Savior. And so let's begin, fam. And what I want to do is I want to share with you five things, or we would say five blessings that we see in our text that apply also to all of us who are in Christ. Let's begin in verses 39 through 40. Notice first the blessing of fellowship. That's the first blessing we see in our text, the blessing of fellowship. And let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 40. Again, look with me again there in your Bible or in your phone or whatever you're using this afternoon. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And let's pause right there. The first thing we see here, fam, is what I've titled the blessing of fellowship. And this is what I mean. In Christ, we have received the blessing of fellowship. In other words, in Christ, we are able to fellowship with the people of God. Our text begins, verse 39, with Luke telling us that in those days, Mary left Nazareth, because remember, according to verse 26, she was in Nazareth when the angel visited her. And so she leaves Nazareth and she travels south, approximately 80 to 100 miles, and she goes and visits her relative, Elizabeth. Now, the idea here is immediately, and that's the idea behind in those days. Mary receives the news. Mary conceives miraculously Messiah through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then immediately she leaves her house and she goes to visit Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, the question obviously is why? Why did Mary visit Elizabeth? Why was Mary so quick to leave Nazareth and to go and spend time with Elizabeth? Well, I believe the reason why was to receive encouragement. I believe that right now Mary needs encouragement. Mary needs to be around someone who can understand her. Just a little bit, because remember, Elizabeth has just conceived also. And although she conceived in a natural way, it wasn't a virgin birth, by no means, she still can relate to Mary. She understands that God is doing something. She understands that God is up to something and that God is going to use both of them for his plan and purpose. And so Mary, she needs encouragement. This is This is something radical that just has happened. She is going to give birth to Messiah. She is a virgin, and the Holy Spirit has come upon her, and Messiah has been conceived, and Mary needs someone to talk to. Mary needs encouragement. Mary needs to be around someone who will believe her. And so she goes to Elizabeth for fellowship. She needs fellowship. She needs help. She needs encouragement. She needs comfort. She needs to be around someone who's going to lift her up and not tear her down. And so she goes and enjoys the blessing of fellowship. And so we say Mary is blessed because Mary is able to fellowship with Elizabeth. She has Elizabeth. She has family. She has a fellow believer that will understand her, that will believe her, and that will encourage her in all that God is doing in her life. And that's the first blessing we see here. We see the blessing of fellowship. As believers, one of the greatest blessings that God has blessed us with is fellowship. Fellowship. That we have brothers, that we have sisters in the faith who we can fellowship with, who we can encourage, whom we can gather together and lift each other up. God has blessed us with the local church. And really, that is a huge blessing. A huge blessing that I believe many Christians take for granted and many Christians neglect. Fellowship. God has given us fellowship. Listen, the Christian walk is not meant to be lived out alone. But when God saved us, listen to this, God saved us into a community. God literally saved you into a family. Literally, when God saved you, he grabbed you and he connected you to a body. And now you are a member of a body, of a community, of a family. And God has blessed us with this family. God has blessed us with brothers and sisters who we can fellowship with, whom we could receive encouragement and strength, comfort, correction, love, peace. A family that we can come together and worship him and learn more about him from his word. And God wants us to do it together. Together. In the New Testament, you read the New Testament, there's no category for a Christian who is not part of a fellowship. That doesn't exist in the New Testament. Someone serving the Lord but not being a part of a fellowship, not going to church, not gathering with the saints. That's unheard of. That's unheard of. God has blessed us with fellowship. And the exhortation is don't neglect fellowship. You can't do it on your own. You can't make it on your own. You do need the church. You do need the church. And if you decide not to make this your home church, just make another church your home church, as long as they're teaching the Bible, because you do need the church. You will never make it without the church. Because God has chosen to use the church to do his work in our lives. God has chosen to work through his church. Now, most definitely, salvation is not through the church, and so don't misunderstand me. There's only one Savior, and that is Jesus. But once you are saved, God now wants to use his people to perfect his work in your life. And God wants to use you to be a blessing to his people. And God has given us the blessing of fellowship. Mary needs someone. Mary needs to hear words of encouragement. Mary needs to be surrounded by someone who's going to be patient, someone who's going to listen, someone who's going to lift her up. So she immediately she goes to Elizabeth. And in the same way, you need to surround yourself with believers who are going to lift you up. You need to surround yourself with brothers or sisters who are going to encourage you, who are going to speak the word of God in your life, who are going to pray with you, who are going to be patient towards you, who are going to love you and guide and direct you in a biblical way. Oh, we need one another. And that's why God has blessed us with fellowship. Notice second, now the blessing of the Holy Spirit. There's another blessing that we find in this text. And now notice verse 41, Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, notice what we read, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the second thing we see and learn here concerning the blessings that God has blessed us with is now the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Luke now tells us in verse 41 that as Mary entered the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth, as she greets Elizabeth, that immediately the baby in Elizabeth's womb began to leap. We would say begin to kick and move around. John the Baptist, he literally begins to kick and leap in his mother's womb. And then notice verse 41 again. Notice as all that is going on, Luke tells us that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the idea, because I don't want you to misunderstand this. The reason why John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb is not because of Mary. It's not because of Mary, but it's because of the baby that is in the womb of Mary. In other words, John the Baptist, even as a six-month-year-old baby in his mother's womb, he can sense the presence of Messiah. Literally, John the Baptist is in his mother's womb. If you recall, the angel told Zechariah that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. John the Baptist is set apart. God has his hand upon him even in his mother's womb. And John the Baptist, he literally senses his Savior. He senses Messiah. And in his mother's womb, he begins to leap for joy. See, he's sensitive. He's set apart. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is confirming and doing the work. And he leaps in his mother's joy because he knows his Savior is near. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and fills her. And as we're going to see, he fills her because she's about to testify. She's about to proclaim God's message and God's word to Mary. And really the idea is in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth will testify to Mary. Elizabeth will proclaim God's word. Elizabeth will prophesy and she will speak blessing to Mary. And she will do it all in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the second thing we see here. We see Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. God gives the blessing of his Spirit. And this is the application through Jesus, we believers have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit is with us, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit is able to come upon us. We are able to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We are able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are able to have that relationship with God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been given by the Father through Jesus. The Father and the Son has given us the blessing of their Spirit. And the Spirit, He comes upon us like He came upon Elizabeth in order that we might testify, in order that we might proclaim Christ, in order that we might be witnesses. That's why the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That's why this blessing, or one of the reasons why this blessing has been given to believers, in order that we might receive power to proclaim Christ to others. Listen, let me just be honest with you. It is scary at times to share our faith. It's scary at times to evangelize. Sometimes it's hard to evangelize. Sometimes it's hard to even want to evangelize. Some of us, we don't even have a desire to evangelize. That's some of us, that you have no desire at all. You are dead when it comes to sharing your faith. And that's some of us. And I would even say that's probably many of us. That there's probably only a few of us here who share our faith on a regular basis. And listen to this. God knows, God knew that that would be a struggle. God knew that there would be hesitation and there would be fear and there would be struggles and battles that we wrestle with. God knew all of that. And so what God did is He gave us His Spirit. God literally poured out His Spirit upon the first Christians there in Acts 2, and He poured out His Spirit in order to empower them to be witnesses. God has given us the blessing of His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us in order that we might testify, in order that we might be a witness, in order that we would be active in sharing our faith. Jesus literally promised, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's one of His ministries. That's not the only thing He does, so don't misunderstand me, but that's a part of His ministry. As He comes upon believers in order to empower us, in order to enable us for service and for witness. That's the blessing that God has poured upon us. And listen to this, the gift is for everyone. The gift is for everyone. Jesus has already done everything to pour out His Spirit, and all you do is receive it by faith. The gift has been given already. Jesus would even say, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to all those who ask Him? Literally, Jesus was saying, if you being evil and sinful and wicked, if you know how to give good things to your children, you know, if your children ask you for food, you're not going to give them a scorpion. You're not going to give them a serpent. At least I hope you won't. Amen. Some of you are like, hey, I'm tempted at Him sometimes. I'm tempted. But even you being evil, even with those thoughts of you just being wicked, you know how to give good things to your children. And Jesus says, He uses that as an analogy just to help you understand how much God wants to give you His Spirit. He says, how much more will my Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I think the problem is that we just don't ask, in my opinion, because God is ready to pour out His Spirit. God is ready to give us the gift of His Holy Spirit, the baptism, the filling with His Spirit, because we already have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We already have that relationship. He's with us. He's in us. But God wants Him to come upon us, to take control of us in order that He might use us for evangelism, for being a witness. And God says, just ask. When you're at work, ask. When you're on the phone talking to someone, ask. When you're in the store, ask. When you're at church, ask. Because I'm ready to give you this blessing, this gift, in order that you might be a witness. Because at the end of the day, it's all about being a witness, fam. It's all about sharing our faith. It's all about testifying of what Jesus has done. Jesus has done something. You have to testify. Good news is meant to be shared. And there should be that desire within us. If there's no desire, man, that's dangerous. You know, if there's not something in us that wants to come out, I don't know if it's in us. I don't know. I would never make that declaration, but I don't know. You know, we gotta ask God, what's going on, God? If it's not coming out, Lord, is it in me, Lord? What's going on, Lord? Fill me, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me words, Lord. Give me the power, Lord. Give me boldness, Lord. Give me opportunity. Use me, God, to share my faith. Because people are hurting, Lord. People have problems. People need Jesus. And Lord, I just don't want to be all comfortable doing my own thing, and people are dying around me, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Notice third now, the blessing of knowing Christ. That's another blessing we see here in our text. And now let's read verses 42 through 43. Let's continue to talk about this visit that Mary had with Elizabeth. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Verse 43, this is what we're going to focus on. "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And let's pause right there, all right, fam? The third thing we now see and learn here from our text is the blessing of knowing Christ. And so Mary greets Elizabeth, and right away the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth. And now Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, she begins to testify. She begins to proclaim the word of God. She begins really to prophesy over Mary. And the first thing she says is this: "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, really what Elizabeth is doing there is she's celebrating the grace of God in Mary. She's not necessarily celebrating Mary or worshiping Mary or exalting Mary, but she's celebrating what God has done in Mary and through Mary. And she begins to celebrate Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because notice now verse 43, and this is what we're going to focus on. She declares, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now it's easy to miss that when you read this. A lot of times people focus on verse 42. "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." It's actually even a prayer that people recite. But in my opinion, verse 43 is the key. It's such a powerful statement. Because literally what Elizabeth is doing, this is what Elizabeth is doing. She's confessing that the young child in Mary's womb, who's only a few days old, she's literally confessing that he is her Lord, that he's her Messiah, that he's her Lord, that he is the promised Messiah. And she says, "My Lord." She literally says, that little baby, that little 8-year-old baby in your womb, he's my Lord. You know what she's doing? She's literally confessing that she knows him, that she knows him. She's saying, that's my Savior. This is my God. This is the Messiah. This is my King. This is my Lord. She's literally saying, man, I've been serving him. This is the God of the Old Testament. He has come down. Now he will be born and bring salvation to his people. She literally confesses, my Lord. Oh, Mary, your child is my Lord. I worship him. I adore him. I serve him. My faith and trust is in him. And now God has visited us. Now God is with us. God will be born. And he will be the instrument. And she says, my Lord, my Lord. Listen, this is the application. There's no greater blessing in this world than to be able to say the words to Jesus, my Lord. No greater blessing. To know Jesus, Lord. To be able to go to Jesus and like Thomas say, my Lord and my God. No greater blessing than to know Christ as Savior and as Lord. That's the greatest blessing in my life. I will just confess with you. For me, there's no greater blessing. Nothing in this world can compare to knowing Jesus. I've been walking with the Lord for about 15 years, and he is everything to my life. I love Jesus. And every day, I just want to get to know him. Every day. I want to know him as Savior. I want to know him as Redeemer. I want to know him as Lord and God. I want to know him as Comforter and Counselor. I want to know him as Shepherd and Great High Priest. I want to know him as Friend. And as brother, I want to know him as healer and forgiver and guide and director. I just want to know him. That is what life is all about. And like Elizabeth, God has blessed us with the ability to say, my Lord, my Lord. And really the question is, can you tell Jesus, my Lord? Do you know him as Lord, as Savior? The question for many of us here would be, are you cherishing him? Are you cherishing your relationship with Jesus? Like Elizabeth, do you have affections for him? Do you love him? Do you spend time with him? Do you treasure him? Do you cherish him? Is he your reward? Let me ask you this question. This is for all of us. This is for all of us. This is something to think about. As a believer, what really do we want? What do you want as a believer? What's the end? What's the goal? What is it? Is it you just want a happy life? Is that why you're a believer? Or is it you don't want to go to heaven? You just want heaven? You don't want to go to hell? Forgive me. You don't want hell. You just want heaven. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But is that the ultimate goal? What do we want as believers? What's the motivation of our heart? What's driving us? What's the purpose of our life? What do we want? What's the goal? As a Christian, what's your goal? What's really your treasure? What really are you pursuing? Listen, if it's not Christ, something's wrong. Something's wrong. You're missing out. You're missing the very purpose of Christianity. If it's not Jesus, if you want heaven more than you want Jesus, something's wrong. If you want God's blessings more than you want Jesus, something's wrong. Jesus has to be everything. The psalmist would even say this. I love these words of the psalmist. I believe it's in Psalm 139, where he says that the Lord is his reward. And he literally says, whom have I in heaven but you, God? And he says, you are my reward, God. I want you, God. More than heaven, I want you, God. Wherever you are at, that's where I want to be. That's what I want, Lord. I want you, God. You are my treasure. You are my reward. You're my blessing, God. You're my inheritance, God. That no matter what happens to me or no matter what doesn't happen to me, as long as I have you, God, it's enough. It's enough, God. I'm satisfied. I might never be rich. I might never be wealthy. I might never accomplish anything great in the eyes of the world. But if I have you, God, I'm satisfied. Because you're my treasure. And I think a lot of Christians, they need to check their hearts. Why? What are you doing this for? What are you serving in ministry? Why do we come to church? Why do we get in the Word? Why do we spend time in prayer? Don't forget what it's all about. I think a lot of Christians, they don't do things for the right reasons. I think for them, it's just, well, I'm a Christian. I just want to go to heaven. And they forget about Christ. What's beating your heart? What's the purpose of being a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Don't ever forget. And it's all about Christ. Everything I do as a believer, it's for Christ. I do it for the glory of Jesus. For the glory of King Jesus. I'm on a mission. And the life's mission, the life's goal is to bring glory to King Jesus. And whatever I do for the glory of Christ. He's my goal. He's my mission. He's my dreams. Jesus is the dream. Doesn't matter if I don't fulfill my dreams. I don't need to fulfill my dreams. I need to glorify Christ. Because by glorifying Christ, I will be most satisfied. Because that's how God built us. God built us in such a way that the more glory you bring to God, the more you're going to be satisfied. The more you're going to enjoy life, the more you get your eyes off yourself and on Christ. And she says, my Lord, she has a relationship with Messiah. And the question is, how is our relationship? Are we cherishing knowing Christ? Notice fourth, now the blessing of the joy of the Lord. Notice now verse 44. For behold, Elizabeth is still proclaiming God's word. She's still prophesying and testifying to Mary. And she says, for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, look at what she says, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessing of the joy of the Lord. Elizabeth tells Mary, hey, Mary, once you entered the room, my little six-month-old in my womb, little John the Baptist, little Johnny, leaped for joy. Now, remember, it's not Mary causing the joy, but it's Jesus, it's Christ that was in the womb of Mary. And John even from his mother's womb, he can sense and he understands that he's in the presence of Messiah. I believe the Holy Spirit is just confirming everything. And he responds with joy. He leaps for joy. Now I love that little detail because the idea there is he experiences joy, the joy of the Lord. God's joy is poured out upon him. And in the same way we can experience the joy of the Lord. You know, for me, the Christian joy, it's important. That's an important topic. That the Christian walk, it's not meant to be lived in defeat, discouraged, depression. But there has to be joy. There has to be joy. Now, don't misunderstand me. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is more of an emotion. But joy is something internal. Joy is almost a peace and a satisfaction that we have in Christ. Joy is something internal. Joy is something deep. Joy is almost a rest that we have, a satisfaction that comes out. And we have joy in Christ. And we have to experience and walk in joy. We have to experience the joy. God doesn't ask us. God doesn't want us to be depressed and to be discouraged and to be defeated. God doesn't want us to feel sorry for ourselves. There's so many believers who they feel sorry for themselves, who they tend to complain and whine. God doesn't want that. God has given us joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And as Paul says, we must rejoice in the Lord. Not in our situation, not in what is happening or what is not happening, but we rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in what God has done. And there has to be joy. There has to be some type of joy. You know, I don't know about believers who are always mad and who are always grumpy and who are always ready to snap. I don't know if they have Christ. I'll be honest with you. Because if there's no joy, if they're not even just a little bit of joy, at least a drop of joy, something is wrong. Something's wrong, and that's a good way to examine your heart. Are you walking in the joy of the Lord? Now, that doesn't mean, are you happy all the time? Remember, joy and happiness are something different. Because the truth is, some days we're not too happy. We're struggling, and we're battling, and we're barely making it. But in the midst of it all, we can still have joy. There can be this rest, and this peace, and this satisfaction in the Lord. And the question is the joy of the Lord your strength? Do you have joy in your life? And if you don't, something could be wrong. Now, before we finish with the last point, notice this was the little nugget that the Lord showed me this week, and it just has blessed me. Luke 1, verse 44. Notice that Mary, before we go to the last point, notice Mary, Christ is literally inside of her, okay? She has conceived, and she is carrying the Son of God. And notice she enters a room, and literally she brings the joy of the Lord with her into that room. That literally Jesus's joy, Messiah's presence is inside of her. And so she goes to Elizabeth and she spreads not anger, but joy. She fills the room with joy because Christ is inside of her. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking how, not in the same way, but in a real way, through His Spirit, Christ is in us. And we need to also spread the joy of Christ. In other words, when I enter a room, am I bringing the joy of the Lord with me? Am I spreading the joy of Christ? Or am I bringing anger and deceit and restlessness? Can people see the joy of the Lord in my life? Can people see that as I go to work, as I'm in my house, and as I enter a room or as I enter work, am I bringing the joy of the Lord. When people see me, do I make them want to be a Christian? As people see my life, as people are examining my life, are they saying to themselves, man, he's different, man. He's always filled with joy, and he's so caring and loving. I want what they have. Or are people seeing us, and there we're at work, we're cussing like everyone else, and we're all over the place, and we're mean, and we're not helpful, and do they say, is that what it means to be a Christian? I don't want that. They're miserable, man. I need to pray for them, and I'm not even a Christian. What do people see in my life? What does my spouse see? And I'll be honest with you, man, I'm guilty because a lot of times there might not be joy that she's seeing. What does my children see? This is for all of us. As we walk into a room, as we go to work, as we go to the store, as I'm checking out there at Food for Less on the counter, what is the worker seeing? Do they see the joy of the Lord? Like Mary, are we taking the joy of the Lord everywhere we go? Or are we taking the anger of this world? Oh, may the joy of the Lord be our strength. And may everywhere we go, fam, just spread the joy of the Lord. Just rejoice that you know Christ and that Christ is going to use you wherever you're at. Let me end with this, fam. We only have 5 more minutes and we got to end. Whether or not you want to, we have to end. Amen. Some of you are like, let's end. Some of you are like, keep going. This is it, though, fam. Fifth, notice now the blessing of faith. This is the last thing we see here. Look at what she says. She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's proclaiming God's word. She's prophesying over Mary. She's testifying the very words of God. And notice verse 45, Elizabeth says, and we end with this, and blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. The last thing we see here is the blessing of faith. The blessing of faith. I don't know if you have thought of faith this way, but faith is a blessing. It is a blessing. It is an honor that God allows us to walk by faith and not by sight. It is a blessing that we are able to exercise faith, that we are able to trust in the Lord. And that's literally what Elizabeth tells Mary. She tells Mary, Mary, you're blessed because you believed. You're blessed because you believed God's word. You're blessed because you responded with faith. That Mary, you didn't respond with unbelief. You didn't respond with doubt, but you believed God's word. And Elizabeth celebrates the grace of faith that was given to Mary. Now remember, and this is such a powerful picture. Remember, they are in the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And remember that when Zechariah was visited by the angel, he responded with unbelief. Amen. The word of God came to him, and instead of responding by faith, instead of just believing and trusting, he responded with unbelief, and he was cursed. And literally for a season, 9 months, he will not speak. He will be mute because he didn't believe God's word. And so this is the picture. They're in the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and most definitely Zechariah is there. Back in those days, there's no 4-bedroom houses. It's just one room. And Zechariah is right there sitting down, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, she begins to prophesy. And she says, Mary, you are blessed because unlike Zechariah, you believed God. You believe the word of God and God has honored you. And literally, Zechariah is in the same room. And I'm sure he's waving his head. I'm sure he's thinking to himself, that's so true. Because now, because of my unbelief, I'm not able to speak. And we see the two pictures. We see the blessings of believing and the curse of not believing. It's like God has given us a picture. And God is saying, hey, when you believe my word, when you trust my word, these are the blessings that come. But if you reject my word, if you refuse my word, there's only curses. It's not going to end up good for you. And we see the blessing. It is to believe that as you believe God, as you walk by faith, man, it's a blessing that God allows you to trust in him. That God has allowed things to happen in your life in order to give you an opportunity to exercise your faith. And God wants you to exercise your faith. God wants you to trust in him. God wants to be glorified in your faith. Don't rob yourself of that blessing. Trust God. Trust God. Whatever you're going through a season, now's the time to just exercise your faith. Be light. Trust God. Exercise your faith because the trial will not be forever. This is your opportunity to show faith. It's as if believers, you know, we're always talking about faith and trusting in God and believing in God. And God allows us to go through trials because God wants it to be more than words. It's as if God says, hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to trust me. I'm going to give you an opportunity to practice what you believe. Trust me. Here's your opportunity. Here's your chance to walk by faith. Here's your chance to be included in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. And God says, this is your opportunity. Don't get discouraged. Don't be filled with unbelief, but just trust in me. And I will honor your faith. And you will be a blessing to many. And that's what Elizabeth says. She says, Mary, you're blessed. The reason why you're blessed is because you trusted in God's word. You're not like that fool over there, Zechariah. The man of God, the priest of God. He was literally offering up the incense, the prayers. And God finally answered his prayer. And he didn't believe. God is merciful. God is gracious. And God is still going to have mercy and grace. And he's going to use Zechariah. But she says, Mary, you're so blessed. Because you believed God's word. It's as if she's saying you're blessed when you walk by faith and not by sight. And the exhortation is walk by faith. That's the secret to the Christian walk. Walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you, fam. We are so blessed in Christ Jesus. How many would say amen to that? Let's stand, and I'm going to invite my fam to come up, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss with a song. But let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. Your word comes, and it speaks to our hearts, and it speaks to our lives. How many this afternoon would say, man, the Lord spoke to me. Is that you? Would you raise your hand? Lord, you spoke to us. If you can just say, Lord, you spoke to my heart. You spoke to my heart. Lord, there was a point that was for me. There was a verse that touched my heart, Lord. And Lord, you've spoke. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we received by faith, Lord. By faith, I received, Lord. By faith, Lord, this afternoon, it wasn't a routine. This afternoon wasn't just going through the motions. This afternoon wasn't just another message. But Lord, I received. You met me here, and you spoke to my heart, and you spoke to my life, Lord. And I receive, Lord, and Lord, I thank you. I thank you for all the blessings, for all the blessings that you have poured out upon my life. You have blessed me. You have poured out all spiritual blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of fellowship. And we thank you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the joy. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of faith, that we are able to exercise our faith. And Lord, more than anything else, we thank you for the blessing of knowing you. Thank you, Lord, that like Elizabeth, this afternoon we can say, my Lord and my God. And I pray, Lord, that even now you would examine our hearts, Lord. Examine our lives, Lord. And if there's someone, Lord, if there's someone that doesn't have that right to call you, Lord, Lord, I pray that you would touch their hearts, touch their life, that you would show them, Lord, that it would be you, that you would show them deep down inside that they need Jesus. Show them, Lord, that by without Jesus, there's nothing, there's no one else who can save, who can forgive, who can satisfy. Oh, the greatest blessing, the greatest thing someone can receive is the right to say my Lord to Jesus. And Lord, this afternoon, you give everyone that opportunity. And I just pray by faith that they would respond. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to cherish you, that you would help us, Lord, to examine our hearts, and that we can ask the question today, what is it all about? What is it all about for me? Why am I a Christian? Why am I doing this? Why do I keep coming to church? Why do I serve in a ministry? Why do I spend time in the Word? And why do I spend time in prayer? Why do I give what I give? What is it all about? Help us, Lord, to never forget what it is all about. Help me, God, never to forget that when it's all said and done, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Savior. It's all about serving Jesus. It's all about glorifying Jesus. It's all about making known Jesus. It's all about knowing Jesus. That's why we do what we do. That's why we go here and give that and act this way and react this way. That's why we love our wives and we love our husbands and we love our children. That's why we're faithful to the church family. That's why we're faithful at work. It's all about Jesus. We live to serve you, Lord. We live to know you, Lord. We live to make you known, Lord. We love you, Jesus, so much. And we pray that we would never forget what it's all about. That we would never forget that it's all about King Jesus. Would you raise